Welcome to the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast. Hi, my name is Jill McCarthy from Central New York State, and this is our
17th
podcast, and I'm so glad you're here.
Hello, ladies. This is Jill McCarthy from Central New York, and we have our guest today, and our guest is Kathy White, and I'm going to read a little bit of her bio, and then we're going to get right into it. Kathy was born in the UK to a Canadian mother and a British father. Kathy has been back and forth from the UK to Canada many times. She currently lives in Vancouver Island. She took her first yoga class at the age of 25 in Victoria, BC. From there, she moved to Spain and then settled in a spiritual community in Findhorn in Scotland, where she met her husband and they raised their two children. During that time, Kathy trained as an art psychotherapist and became a certified facilitator of the work of Byron Katie. She has been teaching yoga since her first teaching training in 2000. And the past 5 years has done some retraining in the Kyute method, from which she's developed her jointful approach to yoga and a joint renewal system for men and women like herself who are over 50 and want to stay active and mobile as they go. Hello there, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm very well, Jill. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
And, good.
That word jointful, we're going to come back to many times, I'm sure, during this. Obviously, Kathy is a yoga teacher and has been training over many years and has found a way to make or a method that helps especially people over 50. And
yeah,
we won't tell how old anybody is here. So.
No, exactly. Well, you know, it's age is a mindset. I kind of feel that's something we can put into context, right? It's just how old you feel. You know, some days you wake up in the morning, you say, oh, I feel like 100, whatever 100 feels like.
Right.
And then some days you wake up and you feel like a spring chicken.
I hear you. Okay.
So my work is to help people wake up and feel like a spring chicken every day.
Thank you. How about that? What got you into this whole yoga thing in the first place?
Yoga came to me quite early on. It was something that I was never really into, like in the 80s, you know, I was never really into all the aerobic stuff. I remember going to a class with a friend and just walking out with a beet red face and sweating and going, that was the most awful experience. And I think I maybe tried the odd class here and there. So when I found yoga, the fact that you didn't have to run around and do crazy amounts of cardio really, really suited my personality. And I've always been a meditator. Meditation was something I started in my teens. And so I liked the idea that yoga was like a moving meditation.
Moving meditation. That's an interesting way to put it. Okay. I was reading over some of the things that you wrote, and you talked about yoga helping if somebody's been through trauma. Could you come through a little more with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, more and more research on trauma is showing us that the body holds the score, that trauma happens on many different levels, including the physical, even if you haven't been physically traumatized, some of us have, but that on a cellular level, there's a memory of issues that is kind of locked in because we go into our fight, flight, or freeze mode when we get traumatized. And in that mode, if it doesn't get released, it gets locked in. And that trauma can repeat itself, or it can repeat itself through mental anguish. And so yoga as a practice to be able to undo those knots of tightness, of tension, to calm the nervous system down so that somebody feels safe enough to actually release their stored, locked trauma, that really helps in the healing process. I think sometimes we go at physical issues like, oh, I've got a stiff shoulder, so I must move this shoulder more and more. And you kind of moving the shoulder and doing the exercises, and you go see a physiotherapist or a chiropractor and they click it back into place, or they give you some lifts to do or some, you know, rotations, or, and all of that's fine. However, the reason why your shoulder might be stiff is that it might be an old trauma that's stuck in there. It might be an emotional component to it. And so to actually spend some time just calming the nervous system down, to be on your mat, and then explore the range of movement in your shoulder and see what's available or what's not available, not pushing through the tightness or constriction, but just to really pay respect to the tightness or tension. And gradually over time, that trauma, that tightness, that restriction can be released, but not by forcing, but by dropping into a place of healing. Where we heal ourselves is when we're rested. You know, why do you go to bed when you're sick? Because you need to rest to get better. Well, that's the same with our body. We need to rest and gently calm the nervous system down, and then the healing can happen.
Okay, very good. I heard my network chiropractor talking, comparing his style of chiropractic to a more regular type of chiropractic. And he says what he does is he addresses the nerves and then allows the structure to come back in place, where the other one ramps at the structure and hopes the nerves come back. So it sounds very familiar to what you're
doing. Yes, exactly. That's kind of the right way around to it. Yeah, we don't. And I think, unfortunately, fitness has kind of permeated into the yoga field. So a lot of people think, like, couple yoga together with, oh yeah, it's, you go to the gym and you do some treadmill stuff, you do a spin class, then you do a yoga class, then you do, you know, and it's just lumped into the same thing, but it's a very different approach.
How does trauma tend to settle in joints more often than in other parts of our body, or how does the joint piece come in?
Well, what happens with the joints is that they are our points of mobility. You know, that's where we get our mobility from. It's like, you know, the fact that I can move my shoulder comes through the joint movement. And what happens is that lack of movement in those areas. So what happens is, if there's an injury, and it can be a psychological injury or a tightness, a tension, then things seize up around it. And so the natural tendency that we have is like, oh, that's painful, not going to move it. So we'll protect ourselves and we'll limp, or we'll carry our shoulders slightly differently and not use that arm so much. And we'll not look over our shoulder to reverse the car. We'll use the camera instead and all of that. So, but then that creates its own vicious cycle, this loop of, so then you lose some mobility because you're moving the shoulder less, and then you try and move it and it hurts more, so then you move it less, and then you try and move it and it hurts more and less, and so you're in this stuck loop of losing mobility in the joints. So the way I teach it, a lot of teachers, and you'll hear this a lot in yoga classes, they'll say, oh, if there's pain, avoid it, you know, don't go there if there's pain, which is good, and it makes sense, because obviously you don't want to injure yourself anymore. But the way I teach, and the jointful yoga practice that I've been taught through the Kyute method, is that we will go very slowly. It's incredibly safe, but you're invited to move into the restriction. So you're invited to find where the pain actually is.
Okay.
We don't usually refer to it as pain, because as soon as people go, oh, what? You want me to feel the pain? I don't want to feel pain. you say, no, there's a sensation. Find the sensation, find the tightness, the tension, the restriction. Find that. Be with it and see if you can soften around it. See if you can meet it, be kind. And your range of motion might be tiny. You know, if I'm asking a student to put their arms up if they're lying on the floor, put their arms up over their head and touch the floor behind them. A lot of students can't do that. So I'll say, well, take your arm out to the side. And some of them can't even do that. So just have your arm down by your side and slowly, as if you're making a snow angel.
Yeah.
So you start right down at the bottom and then slowly you'll move your arms up, 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 and gradually. And it might take 2 years to be able to move your arms straight up over your head. But each of those movements, each of those micro movements, you're meeting your body with kindness and with joyful awareness. So you're staying present to the restriction and dissolving it through the breath and through awareness all the time.
Wow. I'm so, you keep moving your right shoulder and I'm looking at, I'm a former retired elementary teacher and I ended up with an injury in my shoulder and I could not lift my hand up and keep it up without my fingers going numb. Within 5 seconds, it was so numb. I literally had to create a brand new style of teaching because I couldn't do it for 2 years. So I understand the type of pain. I went about it a little differently, but I know what you're meaning. And I also understand about just paying attention to it. Sometimes the spot will hurt and it just wants our attention there. And yeah. Yeah. And that's something I've learned. I am an absolutely haven't taken one class ever. I fit over your 50 rank. My joints have had their times. What would you do with somebody like me if I came in the first day in your class?
Yeah, I mean, everyone is welcome. You know, even people who have never taken another class, people who have mobility issues, past injuries, hereditary patterns, anything, everyone can walk in the door because there's always a way to translate the practice to meet the student. So it's not a set system that I teach that says, oh, you must put your arm in this position. Like I was just demonstrating with the snow angel, you know, there's loads and loads of angles there that you can place yourself into. And there's always a place where you can start. And the place that you're actually starting is by coming to a class. That in itself is an amazing start and just showing up. I have one student who started with me a year ago and they emailed me and said, Kathy, I can't get up and down off the ground. So I'm not sure how I'm going to do these classes for you, with you. I said, don't worry, we'll compromise, we'll find a way and, you know, do what you can. And I sent her some special videos about getting up and down off the ground that she could practice between classes. And I saw her this morning, actually, on Zoom. She's one of my Zoom students. And we had two moments where we had to get up and down. She still takes her time. It's fine, you know, and I just let everyone else just relax and wait. And they don't know they're waiting. Only I know that. But they're relaxing and she's moving slowly. And there she was, up again and then down again. And it's always doable. If a student can't kneel, I provide a chair, or I ask them to bring a chair if they're on Zoom, you know, have a chair nearby. There's absolutely, I haven't seen a student yet who I couldn't incorporate into one of my classes.
Well, that's good to know. And that's a good thing for like our audience to know that there are accommodations that can be made and that yoga teachers would be very aware of it. And especially you have different brands of yoga that, you know, one that may help them be more suited for that particular person. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, Jill, is the way that I teach is that I don't demonstrate. So I don't sit in front of my screen, you know, in front of my camera and then say, okay, just copy me.
Okay.
That's not how I teach. How I teach is with my voice. I say, okay, place your left hand on your right knee. And if you can't reach your knee, place it on the thigh. And if you can't reach the thigh, just place it on your belly. And so people are just following my voice.
Okay.
And they're taking the instruction from my voice. And I'm therefore much, much, much more keenly aware and looking all the time at my students and seeing how they're moving.
Okay. All right. I can understand that track and the students. And and you find the information so you know how to word the next time so that you can give it to them. That's the learning I got out of when I changed my teaching style. So I hear you. I lead the Empowering Women's Facebook group. And one of the words we use is encouragement. And if people come to you, things can be stuck in their physical, emotional, or mental stress in their body. And your method can help to loosen that in a very slow, gradual way. Does their mood lift after a time of working with you?
Absolutely. I think the practice is all about coming home to yourself. And I think, you know, that's the root word of yoga, means to connect, to join. And many of us are lost, and part of the emotional trauma that we have or we carry, or the depression, anxiety that we carry, is because we're focused on trying to find a solution outside of ourselves. And that's not to say solutions can't be found outside of ourselves, but most people, when they come back to themselves, when they come home to who they really are, that's when the peace is found. And one of the qualities that I love to cultivate in my classes, curiosity. So asking people to be curious about what's going on for them, because very often people will come into a class and they've already decided what it is. They've been told what it is by a doctor. They've been told what it is by a therapist. They've agreed with those diagnoses or symptoms or the story behind it. And the invitation I say is, be curious. You know, maybe you don't know everything about this. Maybe just listen to the body. You know, the body's way of speaking is through sensation. It does not have words. So why don't we just drop the words, drop the story, and just experience and feel our bodies just for an hour? You can go back, you can pick your story back up at the end of the class, but just for an hour, can you be curious and open? And that in itself is a huge burden lifted from people's minds. They're not trying to figure things out. They're not coming to conclusions or assumptions about what's going on. They're just there experiencing the aliveness of being alive. And yeah, it might be uncomfortable. There might be this, there might be some intensity, there might be some sensations, but just staying curious and open is a huge benefit and brings great relief.
Very good. Thank you. I'm sure over the years you've had testimonials from various clients that you've had. Can you think of one, a particular client that had a very inspirational response that, you know, when they share it, that really touches other people?
Yeah, I think, well, one is going to sound nepotistic, really, because it's my father.
Okay.
So my dad's one of my greatest fans, and he comes to yoga. He's 91 and he comes to yoga on Zoom. He lives in the UK and he comes on Zoom with my mother, who's 87. She's quite remarkable too. But what's remarkable about my dad, because my mum's done a bit of yoga all her life, whereas my dad, yoga, no, that wasn't going to happen until he was 87. And I finally convinced him, because he was walking so badly and he's so hunched over. And I said, please, Dad, please come to my yoga class. And he did. And he stayed with it. And at 91, he's more mobile than he was at 87.
Wow.
He had a triple A operation, very serious. You know, triple is an aneurysm operation, which this aneurysm was about to burst, and it was all very dramatic. And he survived that. And 2 days after doing his operation, he was in bed doing leg lifts with his strap, doing his yoga from his hospital bed. It was quite remarkable. And he just says, I wish I'd known this about when I was 50. I was like, yeah, well, you did, Dad. You just didn't listen, you know. But he's actually a sort of walking testimonial of this method, because he shows up. What the thing is like, yes, he teaches and he's my dad and I teach him and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, people don't know he's my father necessarily. I mean, I tell people it's my dad. Right. I call him Tony. I don't say dad on the class. And I just treat him exactly like every other student. But he shows up. He shows up week in, week out. He shows up. He's there twice a week. He's doing his hour on the mat every time. And as I say, he can't move the same way other people can move. No way. But I adapt the class in a way that he can always access some part of every posture. And he's just going strong. It's amazing. Yeah, quite remarkable at 91. He had the story got picked up because he was doing it during the pandemic, and Yoga Journal picked up the story. So it was specially published in Yoga Journal.
Very good.
Doing yoga. Yeah. And then the other story I wanted to share, which is more of a kind of regular student testimonial, is that somebody found me online during the pandemic, and they were panicking because the pandemic, with the shutdown, they couldn't get access to their chiropractor. And their chiropractor was basically keeping them mobile. That like every week they went for their chiropractic session and their back was fine for the week. And then by the end of the week, they needed to go back to the chiropractor. And so with lockdown, they couldn't access their chiropractor. So they found me online and thought, well, this sounds like a different jointful yoga, joint renewal system. Let me try this, kind of out of desperation because they couldn't get access to their chiropractor. So they started with me, and now that was in 2020. So now 2 years later, they're still with me. They come twice a week. They are very dedicated as well. They come twice a week, and Debbie has not seen her chiropractor since that time.
Wow.
She's never gone back. Now, I don't want to put chiropractors out of business. They have their place. They're amazing. They do incredible work. And it's just really lovely to know that you don't have to become dependent on them.
Right.
I would send Debbie back to her chiropractor in an instant if she felt she needed it. I would not say don't go. Of course, go.
Right.
But
right.
She's found another way through this method to access her own mobility and strength, which is quite remarkable.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a little commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your heart's desire. We're back now with our guest, Kathy White, and she's going to give us a little insight to her heart's desire. Go for it, Kathy.
Well, it's funny, Jill, when you sent me the questionnaire for preparing for the podcast, you said, you know, what's your heart's desire? And I sort of sat with it and I thought, you know, I'm living it. I don't really have a desire. I think about my life and I just think, I'm so lucky. I'm living my heart's desire. I'm living on Vancouver Island, which is this beautiful West Coast island, an hour and a half ferry ride from the big city of Vancouver. So we're out in the country. We're near the Gulf Islands. We just recently bought a couple of e-bikes, my husband and I. Our kids are, one's left home and the other one's, you know, a couple of years away from leaving home. And I've got my yoga studio. I'm teaching classes. I'm online. I'm just really happy. I've my own practice. I have, you know, friends all over the world. Now the pandemic's kind of opened up travel again. The opportunity to go visit people is up. And yeah, I just feel very blessed. I feel like I'm living my heart's desire.
You, as you came up with things, you went for them.
Absolutely.
You just kept going for them. Yeah,
I think so. And, you know, it hasn't always been like this. When I was going through perimenopause, when I was, you know, coming up for 50, I did have quite a dark period. But I did something pretty radical. I'm sort of that type of person. It's like, okay, enough of this. And we up sticks. We went to live on an island on the west coast of Scotland for a year. And that was pretty radical. The kids were 6 and 10 at the time. And we lived with 12 other people on this tiny island in the Inner Hebrides in Scotland. And that just, it just sort of shook everything off a little bit. And that was kind of like the precursor for coming to this island, the big island on Vancouver Island. But that sort of, if I've ever been in a slump in my life, I'm the type of person who just takes radical action. You know, I just, okay, let's change it all up.
Sounds like Tony Robbins talking here, radical action. Yeah, I admire you, but there's a part of our generation that went through the 60s and the 70s. We grew up in a stage when things just totally flipped around. We're still kind of recovering from some of it, but that spunk, that get up and go, the radicalness, some of us have more of it than others, but that's one of the things that when I work with women is I want to reinvigorate it. You know, I know that at one time there was a spark there and I want to get it going again. And I also want that focused in ways that help that particular woman. We're so good at focusing on everybody else's needs, but to make sure that we're getting the needs met as well and doing terrific things like meeting people all over the world.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, there's that balance between, okay, to change, you have to make things a habit, you have to do them daily, you have to make a commitment, you have to, but also to change, you need to throw everything out the window and start afresh and not have any commitments and nothing at all, you know, and start from new, start from scratch. So it's kind of both and in terms
of that. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Yes, you don't want to come in with an already set mindset. You want to be open to the new way of looking at it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. How about legacy? What type of a legacy? How would you want the world to realize that Kathy White walked this way?
If you're enjoying this podcast, then by all means, share it with your friends or your family members. If you're really, really enjoying it, then hit the subscribe button so our next episode will show right up on your favorite platform. And if you're really, really, really enjoying it, then by all means, then leave feedback on Apple Music, iTunes, or wherever you listen to this podcast. Now back to our show.
I'd like their bodies to know that. Not their mind. I don't need to be remembered for my name or anything, but if someone just walks freely in their 90s, and, you know, can get up and down off the floor and sit down with their grandkids when they're playing with them and have a picnic without any struggle, and their body is free, then my work is done.
Excellent answer. I like that. Do you have any last words you'd like to say?
I think, yeah, just really encourage people to find a movement practice that works for them. You know, people will try this, try that. And it's find the teacher that works for you too, because that it's a very important relationship between the student and the teacher. Find, you know, because there's many, many different types of yoga, different types of teachers. You know, if people are interested in trying my jointful yoga, then they can sign up for a free challenge. I have a challenge that I run every once in a while. I just ran one now as we're doing this recording, but there'll be one coming up maybe when this goes published. So okay. That would be that can go into the show notes, I guess.
We'll put all of your links there in the show notes.
Yeah. So. But find a movement practice that really suits you, that makes your body sing, and find a teacher who enables you to do that with joy.
Very good. And I thank you. And I'm going to call that a wrap.
Thank you, Jill.
See you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.